Okay.
Right.
You can go
Let's
over
go.
Here.
So, this is your farm, Mechabert.
We go over here, that's better.
And these, how many cows do you have here?
Oh, it's already for my son. I sold it a few weeks ago.
Oh, really? To your son?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're trespassing?
No, well, it's not luxury, but you can both have a seat.
All right, thanks.
And the little noise is, let's just start. Oh, in a few seconds, he will stop.
Oh, that turns off, does it?
Yeah.
And what is this doing?
This is compressing air. It's used by the gates in the robots.
Ah, the robot, and these are the robots which milk the cows.
Yeah, the cows. Is it too much noise for you?
It's going to stop in a minute, you say.
I hope. No, I know. Mostly it doesn't make this noise.
Okay.
It'll stop in a few times.
Okay, we should be right. I might. We'll be fine. Okay, so could you tell us a bit about yourself? You're from Friesland. I mean, from
Terschelling.
Terschelling.
Yeah.
So you were born here, born to a farmer. Is it a lineage of?
Yeah. My dad was a farmer, and my granddad was a farmer and a postman.
Oh, wow.
And my great granddad was a farmer and a baker.
Ah, okay.
In the old days, there were very small farmers, and they were most of them were a farmer and a baker, a sailorman or a fisherman or something together with it. Because the farms were very small, the ground was not so good, so the income from the land was not enough to live.
Okay.
So mostly they had only 2, 3, 5 cows to milk, a few sheep, a few goats. And then have a shop or something together with it, so they can make an income.
Oh wow! So kind of
yeah. My father was the first in the generation who was real, only a milking dairy farmer, and not having another. When he became later, he started to rent ponies to drive them for the little children of the holiday children.
Holiday children.
Ah, you call it visitors of the island.
Yeah, but still back then you were very, the island was very catering to tourists.
Yeah, that was in the 70s.
Oh, that's the 70s,
yeah.
Okay.
Cool. That was the start, so a farmer had to choose, are you going to grow big from 20 cows up to 80, 60 cows, 80 cows, about that, or are you going something else to do with tourism, that's the word.
Okay, so the 70s was really a decision, kind of a turning point where you had to make a decision.
My father, he didn't want to build a new barn, and he started. He stayed with the cows in the old barn, and he took. I bought about 20 ponies to ride on, and he rented them in the summer to the tourists.
Okay.
Is the right word to rent to the tourists?
Rent out.
For for a quarter, half an hour, or
absolutely,
an hour.
Rent to the children. Okay, so that's how he lived, and he was kind of balancing.
When I came from school, I wanted to be only a dairy man. So then we started to build a new barn.
Oh, so you worked on the farm as a child, and then you weren't in. The idea of renting ponies didn't appeal
to you. More, I was really focused on cows, and my heart was on the farm.
Really? Yeah.
So that's why we started in the 80s to a new barn over there, the other.
Ah, and Oki tells me that you were quite innovative. You kind of came up with new things on the farm. You were very interested in, for example, this robotic milking system.
Yeah, but it's more his my son. He's now 31.
Okay.
And he's in the farm. We farmed together about 8 years, 9 years.
Sure.
And now he is 1.5 years ago. We built this farm. It was finished.
Okay.
So the cows came here. We the other farm is about 300 meters that way.
Okay.
And he wanted to milk with robots.
Okay.
And robot for the feeding and a robot for the manure to pick up.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's his future.
Auki says to me, if you were to be a cow and you were to live on a farm, this would be the farm to live on.
Now, what quite special for our farm is we are ecologic farmers.
Yes.
Already for about 35 years. Almost.
Okay.
So quite long.
Yeah.
And we look very good. We want to look very good after nature, the birds who are breeding on the farm. and okay. All kind of species, like the worms, but insects, and the plants, very yeah. diversity on all kinds of stuff. Okay. And that means for us, I think it's good food for the cows to have not only one grass, but about 100 weeds and grasses,
yeah, yeah.
different grasses, weeds, yeah. so it's much more healthier.
Yes, I would imagine so. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
it's less energy and protein in that feed, in the grass, but it's much more healthier. So our cows give less than the average in Holland, but they stay healthier, less visits of the vet,
yeah.
Less antibiotica, and they grow older. Mm. So that's a healthy cow is always an efficient cow, I think.
Mm.
And yeah, it's much nicer for the cow, but it's also yeah. nicer for us to work with healthy cows. If I want to work with sick cows, I would have been a vet.
See? Yeah, I see, yeah.
And it's the product we have, the meat and the milk, is by far, I think, it must be healthier and better because of all the kinds of every grass, every weed has its own vitamins, own minerals, picks up from the ground. And when you have one grass, English ray grass we call it, it's white. When a man has only to eat spinach is very healthy, but if you only eat spinach, it's not good.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah. And so I'm just trying to figure out now, so Olki said that, I think it was your father, or your father's brother? No. Mm-hmm.
Don't know what you mean.
No, or your brother bought the land from Olki's father.
Yeah, we did.
So we being, how many of you? You and a brother, or?
Me and my brother in
you
the beginning.
My
brother took over the ponies from my father. He went further on with the ponies.
Uh-huh.
He has now about 40, I think.
Oh, wow, okay.
And he is also have another job at the Staatsbosbeheer.
Okay.
The organization who looks after nature on the island.
Okay.
And I took over the cows.
Ah, okay. Oh, nice. Oh, so it worked out well with your childhood wishing to interest in specifically the cows.
Yeah.
So you've gone down that separate way. Okay, that's nice. But you were farmers beforehand, so you bought extra land when you bought Olki's father's land, that was to expand your farm.
Yep. My father had about 20, 25 cows. When I started in the farm, we had 60 cows, 55. Yeah. But when my son was growing older, he wanted to also be a farmer. We had to grow for two incomes. So we bought more land. So now we have 120 cows.
Oh, wow. 120 cows, yeah. Yep. I mean, where do you sell these cows to?
The meat?
Yes.
Partly on the island, there's one butcher who still slaughters the cows.
Yeah, okay.
And I think 75% of the cows go to the mainland, and they go to a slaughterhouse for ecologic cows.
Okay.
So they stay in the ecologic system, ecologic shops. And
yeah.
Organic is the word.
Organic. Ah, okay. So I mean, I'm imagining the size of the island, does that mean you're the main cow supplier of the island?
No.
Really?
There are 10 milking farmers, dairy uh-huh. farmers at the moment. There's one of 140 cows, one of 160 cows, and then Aukam and the other have about 100 till 60, the smallest at 40, I think.
Okay, and you have 120.
100. The average is about 100, I think, on the island.
Okay.
Average in Holland is 110, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Ah. Okay. And the milk, I'm guessing, is the same. Some goes on the island.
No, our milk and there's one other organic farmer. That milk stays on the island in a small factory on the west end,
yeah.
And they make cheese of it.
All right.
Only cheese. And cheese. And they sell it partly on the island to the tourists, but mostly goes to organic shops. In Amsterdam, everywhere.
Okay. Are you an outlier as an organic farmer? Are you the only one, or do other people use similar methods to you?
From the 10 dairy farms on the island, are two organics.
Okay.
And there's two organic sheep farmers.
Okay.
They milk sheep and milk sheep.
Okay. So. Were you the pioneer then?
No, there were. Okay. 10 years before, in the 80s, there were also, I think, 7 or 8 organic farmers.
Okay.
But they started organic, they were quite old, and they had small farms, about 15 cows, 25 cows.
Okay.
And they all quit because they had no sons to take it over.
Oh, really? Okay.
When the last, no, the last two quit in about 2000, the year 2000, and we started in 1992. There was, so we were not the first, but we were, the last, and a few years ago, another one started to farm again.
And did you get this? Did this specifically come from you, or was your father already?
No, my father not. No.
Not so.
He was very traditional. He didn't use chemicals. He didn't use chemicals, not at all.
Sure.
He used a little fertilizer.
Yeah.
But not in his mind. He was just traditional.
Just as it was done.
It was always done. After the war, the farmers worked like that way, and he always stayed working that way.
But did the introduction of chemicals happen during your father's lifetime?
He
ignored it. He didn't want to change his
ways. No, I didn't use it.
But that was more just because he wanted to carry. He knew his way.
Yeah, that's obvious he did it.
Whereas yours is coming from a more ethical standpoint, maybe, or more. You're more. Whereas your.
Why we don't use chemicals and why we are organic?
Well, yeah. I mean, your father was more of a. He wanted to keep his traditional way of doing things.
Yeah.
But do you think I mean, you must, as you've come into farming, you're really going against the grain, I think, because it's becoming more and more chemical-based. So is yours, the reason you're staying traditional is more out of ethics rather than just wishing to continue a practice.
Yeah, I'm sure we don't use chemicals because we're against it, because I think always a little part of the chemicals comes into the food.
Yeah.
When your farm is one organic system, with especially the soil, then the cows in it, and it's one organic system. So once you put some chemicals in it, it's very hard to get rid of them. The rest. Everything goes away from the chemicals. Always a little part starts and it stays in the organic system. So I think then when you drink the milk, there's always something in it. In the old days, DDT. You know what DDT
is?
Yeah. After a while, people realize, shit, there's something going in the food system, in the birds, and but also in the food we eat.
Yeah.
Well, I think almost every chemical stuff we use on the land, something stays in the food, in the cows, in the food.
Yeah.
And it's because of the next generations, I think we have to be very careful with the earth. And always, there stays something always in it. So you better don't use it anymore. It's healthier and it's better for the future.
But are there more challenges to trying to stay organic? Is it harder to survive?
It's harder. We have much less cows than when we were going on the normal way.
Yeah.
And the cows then should give more milk, much more milk, about 20%, I think.
Okay. But when you say then, you said then when we were going the normal way. So there was a period between your father's traditionalness and your ecological.
Yeah, there was about 7-8 years we worked on his way, but I knew then when I was about 22, I think it's better to go organic.
Okay.
And then you're growing in your mind, you're reading and you're looking after things. And when he quit in 92, I said, no, now we're going organic.
Okay, so the trajectory, your father was traditional. He tried to stay traditional, but he did introduce chemicals towards the end of his career.
No, a little bit.
Because then you scaled that back when you came in and said.
Yeah, we went to zero again.
To zero.
Yeah.
But there wasn't above zero. That's my point. That you actually.
Yeah, we used at that time, the last years of my father's career, he used some chemicals.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Okay, so I'm interested in islandness, and I'm studying islands. Do you think there are specific challenges to being a farmer on an island?
Oh yeah, for sure. Our costs. Everything has to go by the ferry. That's about everything we get here is about 10-20% more expensive just because of the we have to pay for the ferry.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the person buying from you is paying for.
Yeah, for the milk, even the same. You have to go back, so there's always more costs.
Yeah.
That's a part, and we have more challenges over here because of the geese. Thousands of geese we have. They start now coming at this moment, and they eat the grass in the fields. And the last leave at 1 June.
Say it once more, sorry.
The 1st of June, the last leaves. About 28 May, they leave, and they come back in October again.
Okay.
And drought is here a problem. Drought.
Drought. What's drought?
No rain.
Oh, drought. Sorry.
Drought. Oh, drought.
No. He understood. It's my problem.
It's because we have sandy grounds, no clay.
Yeah.
And when it stops raining in June or July, it can be very dry. So there's no grass growing anymore for the cows.
Okay.
So we have to, when it's very dry, we have to buy more feed. Where does it have to come from? From the mainland. And that's also very expensive to get it over here.
Okay, yeah.
It's for, it's get 20% more expensive because of the ferry.
Yeah.
So we get, we get some money because of the extra cost from the government.
Oh, subsidy.
We get some money because, but the other thing I think while growing, farming on the traditional way with not organic farming, it's more bulk. You know the word bulk, what it means? Bulk. It's you produce something that everyone produces.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yeah.
That's one more. You have to do one thing, and that's growing. You must keep growing because every can produce your product, what you need. And so the one with the cheapest costs can deliver. So you must get your customers cheaper because your profits is getting smaller and smaller. But everybody can produce it. Yeah. Everyone is your concurrent. A farmer in Holland can produce that milk, and in Europe can produce that milk. In America, all over the world can produce the same milk.
Yeah.
So when there is a little overproduction, prices go down.
Yeah.
But who stays can survive in that economic battle?
Yes.
The one who has the lowest cost. But on the island, we have too much cost.
Yeah.
So I think on the long term, the gangbaar, not the organic farms, farmers, but the who have to produce just milk, not especially milk. We make organic milk, who gives a higher price, but our island products on it. So I think they must grow and grow. Not 120 cows, but over 5 years, 150 cows. Over 10 years, more than 200 cows.
Mm.
But that's also not a possibility more in the island because of the nature and everything. We cannot milk more cows. It's not allowed from the government.
Really?
No, because of the nature. The nutrition. I think it's my
family. Is your family asking?
Family,
me? We'll wrap up. There's a few little things I'll ask, and then we'll wrap up quickly.
Okay.
So, if you're okay,
okay.
So I'm a mature student. I'm a mature student, so I'm studying. I'm obviously not.
Mature student.
A mature student, we call
What's
it.
What's mature? Grown up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlike him, he's not grown up.
Yeah. You're already a teacher.
No. I'm a student, but I've always been a musician.
Okay.
I was a musician, professional musician.
Mm-hmm.
So I am interested in you sing, and you sing. You're part of the sea shanty choir.
Yeah.
Tell me a little about that. Have you always sung? And is this a very? This sounds like a very island thing to be singing sea shanties.
I sing. I sang when I was a little boy. I was singing, and I started singing when I was younger in a bar and parties and things like that. And
these are
30,
traditional songs from the island.
Yeah, some, yeah.
Yeah.
In a dialect and
because you have a different dialect to Olkia because you're the other side of the ditch.
Yep.
I find that fascinating.
Yeah.
And these, sorry, do you want to call back before we continue to tell them you're on your way?
They know I'm coming, but they start eating.
Okay.
It doesn't take much longer, I think.
Okay, no. And so I'd love to, would you want to sing a sea shanty? Would you like to sing one?
A sea shanty? It's a shanty of the island. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah?
Any in dialect?
However you want to do it. Yeah, yeah, why not? Yeah. We'll maybe wait for this to stop and then you're going to... This is your warm-up act.
Okay, what kind of music do you make?
What do I make? Well, I play the guitar and the mandolin. I played with the ballet for a while, the Royal Ballet. I played guitar for the Royal Ballet.
You danced? You were a dancer?
I just played for them.
Oh, for them. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
I played in musicals. I played in the circus. I have 3 albums, solo albums, which I can send you. You can have those.
Okay.
If you have
And what are you going to do with all this information, your interviews?
Take it to the government. No. We're going to...
Because you're not a student anymore.
No, I am. I am a student, yeah.
You're a mature student.
A mature student.
Mature.
What does that mean?
How many years do you have to study for your...
Well, we're studying 2 years.
In 2 years?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm changing... You see, I've been a musician all my life, but now I'm changing course a little bit. That's my... The quick explanation. No, but what I was just saying...
I'll start singing. It's a song... It's a song from the dialect from West End, the western part of Ireland. Vlakke Oorishuis op het eind van het gelop, daar wen het een pracht van een famke. Ik wil haar wel vrien, maar als ik haar sjoch, dan tril je ik al als een lamke. Uus mim zei toch moest net zo bang wijzen zijn, de mensen die moeten omleidsen. Maar ik moet haar vrien, dat hoeve ja net, ja hebben maar makkelijk prijzen. One couplet.
That's lovely. I'd love to do one more. Do you have what's that about? Is that
There was a song about a young man about 35, more almost 40, I think. He lived with his parents, and his parents think he must go out and search a wife. Yeah. But yeah, why should he? But the girl on the next door. I'm gonna ask her, and the other couplets. Then he starts asking her.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Hey, could you sing one more? Would you mind? Hold on a second. I'm just gonna. Can I request one more encore, please?
One more. Okay. Another song.
Yeah.
Sirens kwam de stoomboot uit China us los. Hij bracht ons containers mooi hoog op het strand. De auto's die vlogen al heen en alweer. Met een vracht vol naar huis toe en dan nog eens een keer. Het meeste was speelgoed en een ieder erbij. Het leek een welkome, zo wat vechterij. Maar ook over hemden zo mooi en zo sterk. Maar het meest ging naar Polen en de rommeltjesmerk.
Yeah.
That was the other dialect.
Beautiful. That's the other dialect. So where's that dialect from?
Midland, my own dialect. Yeah, yeah.
So what's that song singing
when
about?
When you sing a song, you have to tell a story, and that's almost like acting.
And most of these island songs have a story.
It's always about something.
It's about something, yeah.
Yeah.
And are these often made up characters? Are they characters from the island?
No, the last song I made myself. That's the one. Sure. I surely have to go over there.
Yeah, pick up the.
What's the doing?
Blame it on me. It's my fault.
Yeah.
And send my apologies.
Die zitten 2 mensen bij me te interviewen. Die ben al klaar. Ik kom naar huis. Mooi. Okay. They want to start dinner.
Okay. Cool. We'll let you go. That was brilliant, though. Well, maybe if we come back to the island, we can do a bit more if you would be open to that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure, actually. I really enjoyed that, especially the singing. And I'm really interested in learning more about the music from the island and the songs and what they... if you could just tell me, just to finish off with, what that last song was about.
It was about, I made a song, it was...
That's your song, you wrote that.
Yeah, I wrote it. Okay. The music was already, it's an old song.
Okay. But also, the melody is already established,
and you put Dutch old melody, and I made new lyrics on it. It's because of it happening on the beach. There was a winter storm, like this time. It was in the 80s, I think. There were all containers. You know, containers, sea containers,
yes.
Big ones.
Yeah.
They came on the beach and they burst open. They were all clothes and toys and everything was in it. But it was quite cheap stuff from Hong Kong or China, Taiwan. Yeah. Not quality, but everyone you want to have it. Oh, you have some people had about 50, 70, 80 blouses.
Shirts and
shorts there were, and shoes and little dinky toys. It was plastic, all plastic. It was rubbish. But everybody wants to have it. They were fighting before a box of the shit. So when the party was over after a few days, everybody had a lot of shit. And then what were we going to do with it? So most stuff, when there was the time, Poland was very poor, Lech Walesa. So a lot of, they go carry trucks full of stuff to Poland. They gave it away for the people. Yeah, because, they were fighting for it, but what for? Just to have it.
Yeah.
But that's also a part of Jutte. It's when you pick up some stuff from the beach, you call it Jutte.
Jutte.
I don't know the English word for Jutte. No. In the old days, a lot of farms with a car and horse for it, wagon and a horse. They went to the beach to pick up wood, planks, Balkan, and some other thing that came from the ships.
Yeah.
The jutte, but it was always the when you have it, then you have it, eh?
Yeah.
It costs you nothing, but you want to have it. Yeah, why you use it? Yeah, you don't know. You must have it.
Yeah.
And that song about a little critical about that.
Ah, nice. I like it. I like the idea behind the song. And there's also a museum about things being...
Yeah, quite close over here.
We're going to go there. Thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I would love to come back to the island and maybe have another chat.
No, that's okay.
That'd be really nice.
That's okay.
I used to work on a farm when I was a child.
Okay, in England.
Yeah, pigs mainly, farming, and collecting the hay and putting it in the...
In those days, a barn.
We used to put our own bins over it. We didn't have the machines.
I understand.